I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 6:03 here in the Bayou City. A little foggy this morning in our area, so be safe out there. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Third and final hour already.
It is.
Man, oh man.
Man, another Sunday going down the tubes.
Usually when you say going down the tubes, it's something bad.
Well, it is bad because we're fixing to be out of time here in about an hour, man. All right, bud. Well, Johnny, keep up what you're doing in there, brother.
I will.
I'm gonna go to Mike Williams now, strike up a conversation with him. Good morning, Mike. What's going on, man?
Not much. You know, I listened to the show, and I changed my mind about four or five times about what I want to talk about. When I first called in, it was about 30 minutes ago. I was going to talk about one thing, and I listened to y'all talk now. It's crazy. Anyway, I was listening to Lynn Smith talking about how his strategy was of winning that Poco tournament. He knew those fish were there, and told those men to go back there and don't leave, just stay in that one spot.
Right.
That was kind of what I wanted to talk about. And I call them windows. I heard y'all talking about, James talking about windows. And I wanted to talk about windows in time, okay? Windows. And a lot of people, just like he saw, Mr. Smith saw, he saw, before it happened, he saw what was going to happen. He told those men, go there, don't leave, stay in that one spot. So he
right.
saw in his brain what was going to happen if they did what they told him, you know, told him to do.
Exactly.
You know, one time, not too long ago, it was about 5 years ago, your buddy was there, Benny. I called in and I told him, I said, the best time to catch a big speckled trout in the state of Texas is when the pear trees bloom. And when I said that, everybody thought it was a big joke, thought it was really, really funny. Back in the day, I used to fish for big trout as much as anybody I knew, okay? And for me, it seemed to me, I was fishing a lot over in East Bay and wading with mirror lures. That's all I fished with, mirror lures. I waded a lot in West Bay. And every year, it seemed to me, the biggest trout of the year came from those two bay systems. When the pear trees bloom, okay, which is pretty much right now.
Yeah.
Or that I kind of find it interesting that you could go to South Texas anytime you could go, you could want to go, but you're going to go right now, which is.
Yeah, exactly how about that?
How about that?
I think that's very a coincidence.
Right. But anyway. These places, here's a good analogy. The place that Jim Wallace was at, okay, that wasn't just an ordinary place. That was, I call those spots like that, and I told you one time, and you said there was no such word, and it is a crazy word, but I call those spots Paititi spots, and it's P-A-I-T-I-T-I, okay, Paititi spots. And a lot of people think those spots don't even exist, okay? Those places are fairy tales. They don't exist. Well, they do exist, or they did exist. And that day that Jim Wallace was in that spot.
Yeah, him and Ronnie Sellers.
He was in a window in time, okay? had nothing to do with luck at all. People say, oh, he was lucky. He didn't have nothing to do with luck at all. Okay. He was in the right place at the right time, and he knew what he needed to do. And his brain thinks just like mine, and when you get in a situation like that, then even you, even James, anybody you want to talk to, will catch as many big trout as you can, because it ain't going to last forever.
Nope.
When this tide stops, this ain't never, ever going to be back like this again. We ain't never going to hit it when this window is open, okay? That day you caught that 10-pound stringer over in East Bay, the window was open, okay? So you're 65 years old. How many times has that happened in your life? Once, twice, you know? That day,
well,
I caught all
the for that big, yeah, once. I've had some other, you know, really great days like that. But that one day, and what was so heartbreaking is I had to leave them. I had to walk out of them. And I was seeing things trout were doing that I'd never seen before, and all big ones. And these guys had to go. One of them was getting married.
Well,
and I had to walk out of those fish, man.
That's a very good point. And as a full-time fishing guide, as you go through life, you get into situations like that where the fish are here, and I know we can slam them, but I can't catch them with mom, pop, and the kids, okay? That's a part of being a fishing guide. That's the part that we run into all the time. Run into that everyday tarpon fishing. You know, you're out there, the tarpon are rolling all around the boat, and you got some people from Abilene, they're 91 years old, you know? And it's...
Yeah.
It is what it is, you know what I mean? But anyway, for the men that get in those situations, you know, I heard the other day somebody said that it was all luck. It ain't got nothing to do with luck. I've been studying those stupid fish for 60 years, okay? And I don't care who you are or what you are. You study, just like yourself, you study something for 60 years, and you get it in a box, like he had those fish over there in that cove in Port O'Connor. You get them in a box, and you go, fish, I know you're there. I know you're there, okay? And a lot of these Peyotiti spots, you can narrow, like on the Galveston jetties, you can narrow these spots down to the size of an igloo, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're not on that spot, you're not on it. I mean, if you're 3 feet away, good luck. You ain't going to catch nothing. You got to be, I call it, in the gold mine. You can be outside the gold mine or in the gold mine. It's like East Bay. East Bay is a lot of bay, but there's just a couple places where you got those places. And just Baffin's the same way. I have never, ever been in Baffin in my life, okay? But those places do exist. You agree? Well, I know you do.
I agree. I've got.
If you didn't, you wouldn't be going down there.
Out of all the great catches I've had in Sabine Lake and Galveston Bay, I can narrow down to out all those good catches of four different spots in Sabine Lake and about six different spots in Galveston Bay, where it always happened. It always. Right. If you were there when it went off, it happened. You were going to get the catch of a lifetime.
Yeah, but you see, it's like Mr. Smith was saying, you got to know about it before.
That's exactly right.
I don't think he just
you got to foresee
stumbled into those places where you go in there and you say, okay, I'm going to catch 10 trout, or I'm going to catch 20 trout, or I'm going to go out there and catch a 10-pound trout. And you, James, anybody from Baffin Bay, anybody, and we hear it every day on the radio, I don't care who you are, how smart you think you are, nobody's going to go to Galveston Jetties and catch a 9-pound trout every day. Nobody's going to go to Baffin Bay and catch an 8-pound trout every day. Okay? But the edge, people that study these fish, get records on these fish, they wait for these windows. Okay? They know where the fish live. They know when to go, and they know what to throw when they get there. And they get those fish pinned up somewhere.
You said
sooner
it right
or later,
there. You
sooner,
said
just
it.
Like Mr. Wallace, sooner or later they're gonna. It's not luck. You know, luck luck hadn't have
like
anything
the old
to do
saying,
with it.
The more I fish, the luckier I get.
Well, I don't
and
think,
you
like
got
I said,
skill, if you got the skills and then you get the little bit of luck with it, you're blessed. It's all going to come together.
But I don't think you stumble into stuff like that. I think it.
No, you know. Or you wouldn't be there.
It happens. I mean, you get people go out here, and I read one time, this is not the last state record, but I think it was the state record before that guy booked a guy, you know, Blue Marlin. It wasn't the last state record. It was the one before that. And the guy never been fishing in his life, and he goes out there and he catches a state record blue marlin. And the captain told him, he said, I'll take luck over skill anytime. The guy just, you know, just lucked out. But these people you continuously hear about, I'll tell you something I wonder about all the time. And you probably won't even comment on this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway.
All right, because I got to go. Make it quick.
Okay. I wonder sometimes if all the guides and the Gallison Bay complex had been born in Baffin Bay, and all the guys in Baffin Bay had been born in Gallison, what the difference would have been. You know,
right.
It's got a lot to do with where you're fishing. You know what I mean? It ain't your brain. It's where you're fishing. Okay, Mr. Eastman. I enjoy
all right, Mike. See you, buddy. Good. Enjoy talking to you. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, later.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 620 here in the Bayou City. I might say very foggy Bayou City and along the coastal areas. Be careful. Extremely careful, especially pulling a boat, man. Live to fish another day. All right, let's get back to our phones. Let's go to Mr. Roy Simmons now up on Richland Chambers Reservoir and see what's up with him. Royce, good morning.
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
I'm good. Couldn't be better. How are you doing?
No, I tell you what, just drinking coffee and listening to your listeners talking for the last few minutes, and I thought I better give you guys a call. I figure you've looked at the weather reports, maybe looked at water flow, but you got something coming your way, courtesy of Richland Chambers.
I know. I've been avoiding to bring up the topic. I know everybody's sick of hearing about fresh water, but you know, I saw, you know, well, I was driving down the road the other day, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, and then I heard about high water rescues in the Dallas area, and I said, oh, boy.
Yep. Yeah, it hit, started Monday night, and over the 48-hour Tuesday, Wednesday mainly, it's some pretty heavy rainfalls, and, you know, the positive part for us is we went from almost a 4-foot low lake to we're about 6 inches low as of when I looked just a few minutes ago, and you know, we need it because we don't want to leave springtime without a full lake. But when we come across the Trinity last night, it was right at its full level, maybe just almost a little bit out of its banks. So it'll take a day or two for it to go back down. But we got our rainfall that we usually count on. Don't always get it, but the good news is we've got a full lake again, and we just didn't want to leave.
Well,
you
that
know,
was a blessing
in
itself, you know, that y'all were low enough to hold a lot of that water. That'll help me on my end quite a bit.
Yeah, they're probably not even going to open the gates on Chambers. The two little lakes above it that are flood control lakes, mm-hmm. they're only up a foot or two above their normal pool, which, you know, they'll release a little bit of that along as the creeks permit. But we didn't fish any until yesterday, and we both went out yesterday, and you know, our lake, it takes a lot for it to get stained. It main lake was just like normal, except it had come up to almost full pool level in a matter of 2 or 3 days. And then as we moved up the creek, we did catfishing yesterday. A little bit of stained water, a little bit of debris, but nothing major. And we had a good day on the catfish. They don't seem to get as finicky as, you know, other fish when you get a whole lot of water in a short period of time. So we're set to go now for springtime. And, you know, we really hadn't got into the time of the late winter, spring, when you do get more rain. So we'll see what happens. But the Trinity was flowing, and it'll probably be flowing for a day or two. But was Livingston already at full pool, or did they hold some water?
Yes, it was real close, and right now it's full level. You know, lake, normal lake level's 131, and right now it's at 131.69. So it's about a little over a half a foot above pool. They're releasing now. They went from 13,000 yesterday morning to 17,000 cubic feet per second this morning.
Right, right.
Which,
yeah,
you know, isn't a lot. It's not detrimental, but
yep.
It's been running for a while, actually. They got it up to about 14,000 a couple of weeks ago, and it stood steady for, you know, 9 to 14,000 for about a month, which freshened up the back of Trinity Bay. But
right.
It's not enough to trash out the whole thing yet. It just depends on what happens, you know, in the next few events coming down the road with all these full lakes now.
Yeah, this was exactly what you just described in an event. The initial DFW weatherman forecast was, you know, over a 2 or 3 or 4 day period with showers and rains, maybe a couple of inches of rain in the watershed area where it feeds Richmond. And it kind of just sat there, and then some heavy ones came in along with it. And I don't know, a lot of folks around the lake area had their rain gauges told me well over 6 inches of rain. So it was enough to get all the little lakes, Lake Palestine, which I go across to get to our lake. It is
right.
It went from 6 foot low to about a foot high.
Wow.
And the white bass guys that fish the little creeks and feeder tributaries and stuff, they're just ecstatic because this is what they needed to get those fish moving up the creek so the bank fishermen can get their rods and reels out. And, you know, it sets the stage for a good spawn this year, too, with the water, and it'll warm up in the next few weeks. And we'll be off and running. But we were already catching a few whites and hybrids for the first time in a few years in the wintertime. And we were picking and choosing our days and events, with wind being an issue this time of the year too. So we're kind of just waiting. We'll get a trip or two in a week, and then wait for March to come along, and then you go back to work for a change.
Well,
I know you got Sunday listeners trying to call you, probably, but I missed.
No, not right now. The phone lines have been quiet all day. Yeah, that's
really. Okay, well, I'd missed a call from you guys. I saw on the lake.
Would I try to call you Thursday morning?
Probably so, and that was the day after the rain and a northerner, so I didn't have anything booked.
Yeah,
that's
why I tried to call you to check on those rainfall amounts, because I'd seen anywhere from, you know, 5.5-inch totals to 9, you know, and 8, and a lot of 7s, and, you know, all different little cities up that way. And
it was real.
Out, and it was a real event.
y'all didn't get anything down there quite to that magnitude.
No,
huh?
We got most areas around here on the coast got about an inch and a half, you know, on average.
Yeah.
But now, we didn't need it because we're just so soggy and wet down here. It's just been one of those warm, wet winters, you know. When we have a warm winter like we've had on the coast, it's always wet.
Yeah, last year it was exactly what you said. From late winter all the way through till about June, you know, it was just, we had spillway gates open until middle of the year last year, and then they turned them off, we had the driest latter part of a half year that we've had in a long time, and it was taking its toll. Once those, you know, rainfall stops, you close the gates, and the lake starts dropping. But we've had enough in the last week or two to kind of get the the ground's wet, and if we do get any more, which I think we got a little bit of forecast midweek this week, but nothing like we had before, so maybe we won't do it to you the remainder of the spring, but, you know, call it, just go deal with it, I guess.
You know, I'm not going to bet money on it, you know, the way it's looking right now.
And
a lot of East Texas over that way, they got quite a bit of rain, you know, between, you know, deep East Texas and Louisiana and all that, so their bayous and streams are going to be running too, so those guys are fixing to meet up with what they've been contending with the last 5 years also, so it is what it is.
I'm going to give you my crystal ball. I think by mid-March, which is spring break in a lot of areas, I know spring break this year, I was looking because I started getting calls last week that I was booking a week of the 9th of March, and I said, well, that's – and it was kids or grandkids with the parents and stuff. Mm-hmm. And about half the state, I looked – like Dallas has the week of March 16th, Fort Worth has the week of March 9th, and then I looked at Houston, they were like the week of March 16th, but a lot of little outliers – where the other weeks, that works to our benefit. We don't have to turn down business. We accommodate a few folks more. But usually there's some commonality across the state almost with spring break, but not this year. And then the colleges, they're always later in March. So I'm hoping my crystal ball says we'll be catching whites, hybrids, catfish, maybe a few crappie, just whatever we want by mid-March, because I don't think we're going to deal with any more cold weather. We just hadn't had any. And
I like the way you think.
It doesn't look like it. Well, I'm sitting here doing this, and now I probably just snake bit us, but maybe not. Maybe not. We'll see.
No,
I'm going to go get me another cup of coffee and leave it open for your listeners, but I wanted to give you – we're catching fish now, so if people want to get that spring break trip.
Did we lose him?
Play a comedy.
You broke up, Royce.
Oh, did I? Yeah, it's probably my
ahead.
Cell phone.
Now I can hear you. Give them out a number. Somebody wants to call you and Adam.
You bet. 903-389-4117, gonefishing.biz. And, man, have a good week, okay?
We're going to do it, brother. Thanks, Royce. See you, man. All right.
Okay.
Take care. Royce Simmons, Richland Chambers. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 435 in this foggy Bayou City, this whole area around here. We're pretty dense fog. And from here down Matagorda Way along the coast especially. So be careful always. And this is our final segment of the Outdoor Show today here on Sunday. It's been a little quiet on the sickos, but we got a couple hanging on. If you care to get in before we go off the air, call us 713-572-4610. All right, next up, let's go to Dave over there on the north side, Guitar Dave. Dave, what's up?
Yeah, it's a little foggy out here. I'm in the parking lot. I can't see Airline Drive, let me put it that way. You know, it's pretty foggy. No, man, time's flying, Captain Mickey. I can't believe it's already, you know, Valentine's Day was last Friday, and that's my daughter Ashley. She turned 20 years old, man. And, and I remember she talked to you probably about 11 years ago or so, you know.
Right.
And then now here it is. Then I heard this week that two guys that I met, one of them, PT from PT's Cajun Bandstand, I'm not sure. He was up in his 80s. He passed away. But he did his radio show for about 40 years, and I knew him for 30. He was a real nice guy. He knew probably every astronaut that ever went into space, man, because he had that barbecue place right across from Ellington Field. And I got to spend a lot of time with him over the years, you know, going up there and volunteering and helping him and talking about different, you know, people that he met. Then Paul English, Willie Nelson's drummer, passed away.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I got to meet with him two different times, and he signed that autograph fiddle for me, and you know, was explaining to me about when him and Willie was running around, he just had a hi-hat and a snare, that was it, threw it in the back of the car, and they were gone, you know. He didn't have no drum kit or nothing like that back in the day. But that fiddle that he signed me, I am going to go and donate it to Hallettsville up here with that Kitty Wells one that I donated last year, so I was going to try to get a hold of Mr. English somehow, or maybe I can get a hold of somebody through Willie Nelson or something and let him know that it's going to be in there. So that'd be cool. But anyway, no, time's flying on us, Captain Mick, and I'm looking forward to we got the scheduled the 21st of March to go with Tex. And man, I want to find out where that big tree was they dropped in there. You know, boy, that must have been a project, man. You know,
it'll probably be there. Or you'll probably fish it. It ought to have fish on it by then.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know how he baits everything up with his wife's pillowcases and everything. He pokes holes in them and drops bricks down in there. You know, he's good at what he does. Him and Billy too, boy. You know, they're really really good. But hey, that's about all I got, Captain Mick. And I just wanted to wish my daughter Ashley a happy 20th birthday.
Happy birthday, Ashley.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate you, Captain Mick.
All right, Dave.
All right.
Later,
hey,
man.
Thank you, sir.
All right. All take
right,
care. All right. Next up, let's go to Bart. Bart, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How you doing?
Good. Good morning to you.
All right. Yeah, I listened to y'all's conversation, you and James. I don't know, Thursday or Friday. That was awesome. I was really good about them talking about them lures and it was really good. But you said there's a sinking Lily.
Yeah, they make a sinking one now. You know, Hot Rod and Lily both, you have sinkers and floaters in both of them. And,
yeah, I got the Hot Rod sinker, yes.
Yeah, the sinker, the last time I fished, I did pretty good on a croaker color, they call it. It's a croaker blend. It's got its gold sides with a white belly and a little bit darker back on it. And I caught quite a few fish on that one and a couple of pretty nice ones on it. And it's the sinker. And it was, you know, I was fishing out of the boat with it. But it doesn't sink so fast that you can't wade fish with it either. It, you know, it works both ways. You can wade or drift with it. And
I was wondering, would braided line, I mean, you know, I know you were talking about not using braided line when a sinking bait.
Right.
So would just best to change out your line when you use a sinker?
Well, yeah, you can. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have two or three rods in a boat with me where I can, you know, I've got braid on one, mono on a couple. I'll have 10-pound mono on one, 12 on the other. You know, that way I'm prepared to, instead of having to revamp everything, I can just grab a rod and fish the way I want to with a particular bait. I mean, you can still fish braid with those baits. A lot of people do. You just got to slow everything down, you know, because your sink rate's going to be slower with braid than it will be with mono. And you're even going to get faster sink rate with fluorocarbon because it absorbs more water.
And, okay.
You remember when Iaconelli finished, second 2 years in a row at the Toyota Bass Classic at Conroe? That was the key to him catching and targeting the fish he did with a real light shaky head, but he was using fluorocarbon line all the way up, spooled up on his reel. He was able to fish that deep water with that light head and finesse those fish, give a lighter presentation, and hold that bait in the strike zone longer because he could get down there deeper with it, you know, with that fluorocarbon line with that real light head. And it was just a good combination. It worked out good for him. And, you know, we see that in salt water. It's not as critical in salt water as it is in fresh water naturally because those guys are going anywhere from 2 feet to 30 feet of water, you know, in a tournament, you know, targeting those fish. They're leaving one area to find, you know, fish on their graph and target feeding fish. And, you know, man, 1 minute they may be in 2 feet of water. The next minute they move out to 30 feet of water. They're zigzagging, so to speak, from shoreline to depths. And, you know, in saltwater, we're a little more simple than that, where we're either shallow or we're just what we call deep, is, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8, 9 feet of water. So we're able to cover more water and target fish faster and more easy than those guys are with the extreme depths they have to go from, you know, from shallow to deep.
Well, that fluorocarbon might work pretty good in the surf then with that Lily then.
Yeah, and it's saltier water. Naturally, then you're going to get your sink rate better, you know, because the surf is saltier than the bays. See, that's something you got to take into – that's why I took – before my baffin trip I'm taking today, going down there to fish, I took some of my Fat Boy corkies, and I put a bigger, heavier head hook on them so I can get a better sink rate in that high salinity water down there. That's the – you know – just in case we ended up wade fishing and throwing over, you know, deep rocks or something where I need to get that bait down pretty quick and hold it in there in a strike zone where the fish are, however deep they're hanging on the edge of those rocks. And I feel like I'll draw more strikes and catch more fish that way if that's what's needed. Now, you know, it may be totally different than what I anticipate. Those fish may be up, and they may want a soft plastic with a real light jig head where they're hitting it up in the top part of the water column. So you just got to fish it out to know. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, you got to try that. Yeah,
yes, sir.
I got to – yeah, you go down there, man. Well, good luck with that, you know. That's a pretty hard bottom down there when you're wading, so that ought to be pretty good. I know back by the land cut, you go 9 mile hole back that way. You're talking about hard wading. You sink.
Oh, I've had some death marches in that place in the years past.
Yeah, yes, sir. Hey, do you ever watch that hunting show, The Meat Eaters?
That's one of my favorite shows. I like that guy. He's good.
Yeah, there were two young kids. They were in Mexico hunting, and they had they were hunting javelinas and coyotes, you know, and they shot, you know, a bow and arrow javelina. And they made chorizo out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they shot a coyote, and they skinned it out and cooked it. They ate it. They ate some of it.
Yeah, but they didn't like it too much.
No, that was advice.
They said we wouldn't recommend this for just everyone. It's not that good.
No, I'm telling you. You know, mesquite, you know, you cook over something over mesquite, it does make it taste a little bit better. But,
well, it does. You smoke it up with mesquite good and put enough bacon on it, you can make it edible.
That is true. Very true. But, hey, good luck. Are you, which one, you heading down 59 or 35?
59.
59? Yeah, when I make it, I'm going to Corpus this next weekend for a diaper party. And for my son, they're having a shower and a diaper party. They're having a baby and I live in Manville, so we just head down 35.
You're right there. See, for me, I'd have to cut back and get on 288, go down to 35, cut across, and go that way. So I'll just weather out the construction there between, you know, Richmond and Kendleton.
Yeah, I like to go down 35. It's a lot less 18-wheelers, you know.
Right, and pulling a boat, it's a lot better to go 35. I got some buddies. Matter of fact, last night I made homemade hamburgers and invited a couple of buds over, and I found out they're leaving for Baffin today, too. They're going to go stay in Rivera down there. They're pulling two boats, so they're gonna go 35 so they don't have to pull through that tight area, you know, from between Richmond and Kendleton on 59. That'll make a werewolf out of you trying to pull a boat through that with all 18-wheelers and stuff.
I know it. My best friend has the first cabin to your right when you get into the land cut.
Okay.
And y'all get tired or something, you know, want to hang out on the pier, I'll give him a call or, you know, I'll probably make a trip down there sometime in March, you know, before the wind really starts kicking up and try to do some fishing at night and then in the morning go do some wading and try to catch a big one, you know. But,
yes, sir.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm already blessed and already lucky because I'm getting to go, man. And it's
good job. I mean, that's, man, you know, the weather shouldn't be too bad, you know. So,
I'd like for it to be colder, you know. When it's colder, you got a better shot at those bigger fish. But we'll make do. We'll catch some fish and have a good time. Hey, me and Cliff have been friends for all these years. We fished against each other in tournaments, but we never got to get in a boat together. You know, I've got, like all my other buddies, like Jay Watkins and Lowell Odom and down there and a few others, I've been fortunate enough to get to fish and spend a day with and have good times. But me and Cliff have never done it, so now we're going to make it happen.
Well, he seems pretty excited you're coming down. So
he is, and I'm just as excited as he is. He's a class act. He's a great guy, man.
He's a character too, man.
He is, man. We're gonna have some good conversation in the boat or on the flat waiting together, man. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Especially with the crew I'm taking. All the guys that are going, we got a good crew, man.
There you go. I went to Boyd's. I went, you know, the dykes just cruise around. And I stopped at Boyd's and got me a shrimp poor boy.
Yeah.
Man, it's the best I ever had. A lot of shrimp in there.
I'm telling you. It'd make you go to thebottom.com right there, buddy.
Man, I'm telling you. It was super. I mean, I told my wife, well, she don't like seafood because her grandfather was a shrimper, and they grew up kind of poor down there in Flower Bluff, and that's all they had every day. But I grew up around that area, too, and I had – my dad was a big surf fisherman, you know.
Yeah.
I had fish, you know, almost every day, too, and I'm not tired of it, but she is.
Well, in my next life, I want to grow up poor and my daddy be a shrimper. I'll never get tired of eating it.
I know it, right? I agree.
All right, Bart. Well, hey, it was good talking to you, and I'll let you know next week how we did. It'll be fun. I'm sure I'll have some good stories to tell.
Yes, sir. You take care and catch a big one.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. All right, we have one caller left on the list, and he'll wrap it up for us. No, we got Alan and George now, so we're going to try and get two in here in the last few minutes. Alan, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Morning, Captain Mickey. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I got a quick question to ask you. I'm looking to buy a boat. I never heard of it. It is a Eastern 23 center console.
A what, an Eastern?
Eastern.
Man, I hadn't heard of that either. Man, I don't know anything about it, Alan.
They said they use them for, like, commercial lobster fishing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Pinga boat.
Oh, it is? It's kind of a Pinga look to it with the bow and everything, the way it's shaped?
Yeah, and it had a 130-horse Honda on it. And I was wondering if that'd be a good boat for Trinity and East Bay.
I don't know. Are you having to buy it from up there?
No, the guy got it in East Texas. He was going to bring it down, let me test run it and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It'd be better to, you know, test run it and check it out first, you know, before you commit to it. See if it's really what you want. You know, check out the stability of it and performance of it and ride. Hopefully it's a little bit choppy so you can get a general idea of how it's going to perform. You know how rough Trendy gets.
Yeah, well, he said he bought it to run out of Venice a couple times a year. They use it go out of Venice in it.
Uh-huh.
Go offshore.
I got you. You sound familiar. Is this Alan from my area?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know you. I thought I recognized your voice. Small world, bud.
boat shopping, and run across this one. I said, well, I ain't never heard of it. I said, I'll give him a call and see if he's heard of it.
Well, check it out. Let me know how that thing performs, because some of those Panga boats do real well. You know, they're good fishing boats.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. Well, let me get George before I run out of time. Alan, you have a great Sunday, and good luck on that boat, man.
Hey, good luck on your trip. We'll hear about it.
Thank you, sir.
Get back.
All right, buddy.
Be careful.
See you. All right, let's go to George real quick. George, you are the last caller today. Good morning.
Hey, thanks. Hey, thanks, Mickey. Persona non grata. Hey, I might come see you this week. I envy you your trip. You're going. best of luck. I'll pop on a good one, man. It's going to be a great trip, I know. But, hey, I just want to reemphasize real quick what you brought up the other day, because we kicked this around for at least a decade. And, you know, of course, I've been calling for flounder and croaker for to be game fish for about 20 years now.
Yes, you have.
And look, flounder, you know, close it down. Like Clark said, close it down before it collapses. That's my opinion. But the tournaments, you've been kicking this around for 10 years. It's time, brother. And we need to get together, and trout deserve the same respect that bass bass have, and it's time for us to, you know, to start looking in that direction. And that's all I got want to say. You know, let them start paying some kind of fee to go into the fishery, and it can go directly to the fishery where that they don't get their hands into it, all the legislation.
I mean,
thanks a lot, man.
It's so simple and easy. There's nothing complex about it at all. How you just
exactly
put back just into like the resource said what you just took out let the hatcheries raise our fish and put them back in the water for us.
You know, it can administrate itself some, you know, like you say, you know, it wouldn't take a whole lot of administration, I would think,
no,
because of that.
None at all.
Streamline
it.
But
so
anyway, hey,
easy.
Thanks a lot, man. Have
hey,
a good, good trip.
Yeah, Georgia,
and,
all
I'll
it
come
is
see
is
you,
money.
Man. We need to talk sometime, man.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get hooked up,
okay,
brother.
Okay.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care. All right. That's George. That's a wrap. Johnny B, it was all good, bud. And I'll check in with you next week. We'll all get together and have another outdoor show. How about that?
Sounds like
anyway,
a plan, Stan.
That's a plan, brother. All right. Well, thanks for listening in today, folks. And we'll be back Thursday morning, bright and early, here at Sports Radio 610 at 4 a.m. You've been listening to The Outdoor Show. Have a great weekend.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.